as is my practice, can we put your hands together? Can you put your hands together and bless God for the dream team, for the praise team, for the band, and for yourselves? We thank God for everyone who was here this morning, decided to come on out and be a part of the worship experience today. We're going to jump right into our next series. Our next series is called Fasting by Faith, Embarking on a Spiritual Journey with God. Again, fasting by faith, embarking on a spiritual journey with God. Let the church say, fasting by faith, embarking on a spiritual journey with God. One more time, fasting by faith. Y'all need to get comfortable with saying, y'all going to be repeating a lot one on this sermon, at least. Embarking on a spiritual journey with God. Fasting is an outward expression of an inward commitment to pursue God. Fasting is abstaining from eating for a period of time. And in the space of food, I'm filling my time with prayer, meditation, and reading the Word of God. During this sermon series, I'm going to highlight types of fasting focus that you can incorporate while we are taking the journey of fasting together as a church. The first fast we're going to talk about today is called the Disciples Fast. Let the church say Disciples Fast. This focus of this fast is for the breaking of strongholds or deliverance from bondage. Its namesake comes from the Gospel of Matthew, where disciples attempted to rescue a young man who the father assumes was epileptic, but Jesus identified him as being under demonic attack. The disciples were unable to cast out the spirit, but Jesus was. And after the boy was freed, the disciples asked, why couldn't they achieve this goal? And Jesus let them know that this kind of possession does not leave without fasting and praying. Now, the disciples did not have to fast because Jesus was already walking with them. But they are giving us the precursor of what we need to do to break bonds in our lives. So this fast is for all of us who are walking with God, love the Lord, but if we're honest with ourselves, there are areas in our lives that need to be changed and shifted. And there are bonds that are connected to us that are unhealthy and need to be broken. Let's church say amen. Breaking a bond takes energy. Stronger the bond, the more energy it takes to break the bond. Fasting comes in, but we are denying ourselves. Let the church say energy. Increasing our prayer frequency. Let the church say energy.
Energy.
Actively coming against what is holding us back in our lives. Let the church say energy.
Energy.
Let the church say we are fasting by faith.
We are fasting by faith.
If you believe that, give God a hand of praise this morning. So the title of today's sermon is Something's Got a Hold of Me. Something's Got a Hold on Me. The focus text is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and it says this: therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And if I want to start off with a point and 2 points, hoops been down. The first point I want to jump to is it starts with being grateful. Let the church say it starts with being grateful. One more time. It starts with being grateful. The book we're on today is called Hebrews, and it's centered around Jewish converts to Christianity who are being tempted to go back to their former faith. Side note, be careful that you don't let past experiences draw you back when God is showing you a better pathway in your present and your future. The theme of this book is to show that Christ is all that we need. Christ is sufficient in our lives, and he is a mediator of grace. And the text is giving the backdrop of racing as a metaphor for living the Christian experience. Now, the text talks about, therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, because previously the writer of the text was talking about heroes in the Bible that showed great faith. He talked about Abel. Abel had the faith to give. Noah had the faith to build. Abraham had the faith to follow. Sarah had the faith to give birth. Moses had the faith to liberate. And not just faith, but faith to overcome. Their faith came with obstacles. Abel believed it was right to give his best, but his obstacle was his brother Cain. Noah was believed that he had to build, even though everybody else didn't believe. Sarah believed to give birth, even though she thought she was too old. Moses believed to free his people, even though he sold himself short because of his past and because of a speech impediment. And the writer is saying, since we have this history of those who have done it before us, then the breaking of what has a hold on you starts with being grateful. Grateful feeling or showing an appreciation for something that is done for me is something that I received. In other words, I'm grateful because I appreciate the story of those in the Bible that persevered. Listen, to the entrepreneur in here, you're grateful because Noah showed you how to build even when it was unpopular. To those who are birthing a promise, Sarah showed you that nothing is impossible with God no matter what age you are. There should be a shout from my senior saints in there. To those who are called to help, the Bible lets us see through Moses that it doesn't matter what your past has been. We're grateful that God showed us that God was able to work through Moses even though he had a past. He ran away and he was afraid of public speaking. In fact, is there a praise in the house that can thank God for those who came before us? Oh, we can do better than that. Listen, some of us are grateful for grandparents. Some of us are grateful for parents and mentors and teachers and coaches. We all have people who have paved the way by faith and have done it for us. Come on, I'm feeling y'all kind of, listen, I know I'm going to sound like an old Baptist preacher, but some of us had a praying grandmother. Some of us have, listen, my parents are here today. I had disciplinarian parents. When it happened, I ain't like it, but if they didn't deal with me then, I wouldn't be right here. But come on, somebody, are we grateful for those that went before us and did it in faith? My mom just shot a real high. Listen, somebody give God one more praise for those who came before us. But then watch this. Sister Tashia, watch this. The text says, since we are surrounded. Tap your neighbor and say, he talking about us. Let us throw off. Talk to your neighbor and say, he talking about us. He said, let us run. Tap your neighbor and say, he talking about us. It's one thing to be inspired because of those who have done it before us, but it's another thing to be encouraged by those who are doing it right alongside me. Ooh, listen, I'm grateful for the mentor and I'm grateful for Moses, but I'm also grateful for those of you who are running your race while I'm running mine. Listen, we got entrepreneurs in here, we got authors in here, we got coaches in here, we got interwoven stories in here, and it's encouraging as a member of the faith to see somebody continuing to run their race. Oh, come on, listen. When I see you making it as a parent, right, it keeps me to keep on parenting mine. When I see you making it in your business, it keeps me to keep on running wine. When I see you operating in music or in school or in your relationships, it keeps me to keep on doing mine. That Genesis 2:18 language that says it's not good for man to be alone is not just married language, but that's community language. That's why it's important to stay plugged into your church. So when you get discouraged, you can see that you're not the only one that's running your race. When they're doing construction, and when they're teamwork construction means this, there's a gathering, a group of highly qualified individuals from different backgrounds and fields of expertise to achieve a common goal. So you have laborers, you have investors, you have architects, you have everybody coming together to build the building. We are all here to build the kingdom of God. And when we come in, let's be honest, sometimes we're not on our A game. Sometimes when you put your feet to cold, chilly floor, it's not the best day ever. So you need to know that there are people that are still running, building the building, even though you're not feeling your best, so that you're encouraged. When I come in here Sunday mornings, I try to be on one, but guess who beats me to excitement? Carl. Carl comes in. Hey, everybody. Listen, we got a nickname. We call Carl Karma Latte Carl because Carl likes that coffee. But Carl's energy gives me energy while I'm running. Mr. Dupree's energy gives me energy while... On Tuesdays, the band will tell you, Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock, when it's raining, it's hard to come to rehearsal. But when Jazz and Kyene start grooving, then I'm ready to give God some glory. When Kenyon starts shaking the braid like that, I'm ready to give God... Listen, it's one... You can't do this thing called life in a vacuum. You need brothers and sisters that are running alongside you. So when you get weary, I know you still running. So I can keep, if you have a running praise, give God a hand of praise this morning. Listen, breaking bonds starts with being grateful because I know you're running with me. But then, ultimately, all my praises go to God. Hebrews 12:28 says this, therefore let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us therefore offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. Watch this. If we keep going, then there's a kingdom we're going to receive that can't be shaken. Let the church say, keep going. And since we continue to go, we should have energy to worship God with reverence and in awe. So it's great to have those who came before me. It's great to run alongside me. But ultimately, my praise is going to God. Watch this. God, I'm in awe of you because while I'm running down here, you got eternity waiting for me up there. God, I'm in awe of you because you sent me inspiration from the past and you sent me help from the future. God, I'm in awe of you. So let me let this make this declaration today. I'm gonna praise you. I'm gonna worship you. Gratitude has a hold on me, and I'm gonna break those bonds during this 21-day fast. If you believe that, give God some praise. Now, with all that being said, next part is this. Let the church say, I have to be free. One more time. I have to be free. So we identify there's a reason to be grateful, blessed on who has run before us, who's running alongside us. Let's dig into the text. Because the writer says, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangles. New King James Version says, let aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. New Living Translation says this, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. The Message Bible says this, ooh, get rid of the extra spiritual fat and the sin that is parasitic. The writer says, since you have this encouragement, you are running the race of life with God, drop the weight and get rid of the sin. Let the church say, drop the weight.
Drop the weight.
Get rid of the sin. And when we talk about how to drop it, we have to identify the difference between weight and sin. So I was talking to an elder of mine, Mr. Quentin Walker, man of faith, and he said that weights are what we decide to carry that we were never meant to. The weight is what we carry that we need to give to God. Let the church say, drop the weight.
Drop the weight.
The weight of self-perception, thinking of yourself beneath God's will for you, or thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to, not seeing yourself through the lens of God. Let the church say, drop the weight.
Drop the weight.
The weight of comparison, consistently comparing your life to the lives of others, and not being grateful for the unique way God has moved in your life. Let the church say, drop the weight.
Drop the weight.
The weight of worry. We don't want to be ignorant of what's going on around us, but some of us worry more than we pray. And instead of believing God can, we worry about what will go wrong. Let the church say, drop the weight. The weight of grief. We haven't come to grips with the ebbs and flows of life, and we are still grieving a season or a missed opportunity when God is ready to present a new one to us. And we can't take hold of the new day because we're still holding on to the memories of what could have been. Let the church say, drop the weight. And it's not that we can't run with these things, because many of us are. But the weights are making the race of life that much harder to run. It's not a badge of honor to carry these weights. It's not a place that shows your strength and your faith to carry these weights. It's not a shield that shows how great you come in your Christian walk. Watch this. If I manage the weight wrong, I'm going to end up hurting myself. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety, all your cares, all your weights on him because he cares for you. So God hears my worry, take it. God hears my anxiety, take it. God hears my comparison, take it. And after saying this, stop engaging and entertaining the behavior that is weighing you down. In fact, this is what we should be carrying. Love, joy, peace. Forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. God wants us to carry these things as we run, as we live, as we interact, so we are being more and more like Jesus. If you believe that, give God a hand of praise this morning. Now, those are weights. But what are the sins that are so easily entangling us? Because sin is going against the will of God. And if I'm not careful, carrying the unnecessary weight can lead to sinful activity. And most of us know the ways that don't please God. We steer clear of them. We look at the basics. Don't kill. Hey, the fact that I said don't kill and I ain't hear no amen. Y'all, resurgence, y'all make me nervous. I said when I wrote, I said, oh, I'm going to write down don't kill. Someone's going to say amen. I said don't kill. Some of y'all is like, well, it depends. All right. Stay in the word. Don't kill. Woo! Don't roll up here and without being ready. Don't kill. Woo! Don't steal. But the writer is suggesting that there are sins that easily entangle us. They get us caught up. That puts a different spin on it. And here's why this may be our focus considering going into next week. Because there are things that we know are in God's will for our lives, but we engage in them anyway. Let the church say, I have to break free. And can we be honest this morning at the 9 o'clock service? The sin that entangles us is entangling us because we don't want to confront it. It entangles us because on the outside, it looks like I'm still running for Jesus. Even though on the inside, this sin is messing me up internally. It's an entangling sin because there's a portion of it that I like. And God, I don't want to give it up. And I partner with the enemy to convince myself that it's not that bad. It's an entangling sin because it hasn't been found out or it's socially acceptable. And it hasn't caused God to send a lightning bolt for me yet. And no one can see how much this is messing with my ability to run my race. My reckless mouth towards people isn't a weight, it's a sin. It's entangling us. My scrolling and consumption of social media so much that it has become an idol is not a weight, it's a sin. It's entangling us. If I'm continuing on in that relationship that God isn't pleased with, that no one knows about yet, but it fills me with a high, and when it crashes, I feel worse. It's toxic, and it's entangling us. And the sin can extend into spending, into eating, into activities, into procrastination, to even doing not doing what God has already pressed you to do, and you keep running from his will for your life. If you said any of these three following phrases: I've tried it before and I can't break it. I don't want to do this, but I can't help it. I need an answer, but I can't find it. Then you and I are in a place of needing deliverance. But here's the shout. Aren't you glad that the grace of God is allowing us to identify what needs to change? Ooh, I may not like hearing it, but God, I thank you for putting the mirror in front of me. Oh, God, I may not like dealing with it, but I'd rather know what needs to be fixed instead of walking around broken, wondering why I can't experience the fullness of God. God, if you didn't love me, you would let me die right here, but you're disciplining me now so I can be better for the kingdom later. If you believe that, give God some praise. Because I'm done. Because I'm going to get to some practical stuff. So my note takers get the notes out. I'm gonna put it on the screen. So first thing, did somebody clap about me being done, boy? So first, we're going to fast. Then there's some 6 steps I want you to consider if you decide to do the disciples fast. Number one, I need you to renounce it. Let the church say renounce it. So you are saying out of your mouth that you renounce, you come against the activity that you have been doing that's not in the will of God for you. Everybody following? The next thing is acknowledge self-deception. So acknowledge that this is where I fooled myself into believing that this behavior was okay. The next step is forgive. Let the church say forgive. Forgive. Forgiving myself and forgiving others who have hurt me or abandoned me in the past. Because a lack of forgiveness is also creating a weight. And if I can't get out from under the weight of forgiveness, I'm going to be bound by it. Number 4, submit to God's authority. God, I submit myself to your authority. Holy Spirit, have dominion in my life. Open submission is coming against the rebellion in us that we allow to have rule over us. And it opens the door for God's will to happen in our lives. 2 more. Take personal responsibility. I am responsible for fill in the blank. Last thing, disown sinful influences. Those things in your life, those influences in your life that are drawing you back to that place of the stronghold. I need you, if you're taking the disciples fast, to start to remove those things. From your home, from your phone. Oh boy, get in trouble, Higgs. Some of us during these 21 days are going to go through the phone and press delete, 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 delete. Because there are a lot of apps that we have that we don't have no business having. And it's calling us to a place of brokenness. It's not an easy task, but it can be done. Because at the end of the text, it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus. So while I'm running, while I'm dropping the weight, while I'm untangling myself, my eyes are on Christ. I can keep going in this fast as long as I keep my eyes on my Savior. If I take my eyes off my Savior, then I'll begin to consider going back to, come on, there's a shout into what he's trying to bring me out of. Is there a shout in the house that knows as long as I keep my eyes on Jesus? I might cry, but I got to keep my eyes on Jesus. It might hurt, but I got to keep my eyes on. I don't even understand why this breakthrough is being so hard, but I got to keep my eyes on the Savior. Some things got a hold on me. I appreciate that we went back and forth today in this sermonic moment, but this is a teaching text. And I wanted you guys to really sit with one part of the breaking of bonds starts with gratefulness. You have to have the heart of gratitude. So even if we went through this today, you feeling low, pick your head up. You have a reason to rejoice. You have stalwarts of the faith that went before you. And watch this. You are not running this race by yourself. We are fasting as a church. So when you get weary, get somebody's phone number. Call. Like, yo, man, listen, it's 12 o'clock. They just had donut day at the office. And I love the Lord, but. Or be honest about the struggle that you're having in the breakthrough. Because it's hard to sit in a room and say, I renounce, and say it out loud. Do me a favor. Please don't do number 1 and say, I renounce just my sins. You got to be specific. Are you listening? If I want a breakthrough, I can't be general. This is supposed to be private. Are y'all following me? This is for you and the Lord. Because God is the one that's going to help you with the breakthrough. But you can't be scared to say it. Because if you don't say it, you're never going to get free from it. And the more you renounce, the more God may bring to your remembrance these other things that need to happen so you can really be free. And finally, I just need you to keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your focus on Christ. Keep your focus on the one who loves you. The enemy will try to get you to believe that you are at your worst point when God starts to show you the things that need to go. You used to sing that song, Jesus is the Answer, right? And we used to, that lyric says, reflections of your past seem to chase you every day. The enemy will try to get you to stay there. I'm focusing on Jesus because I'm remembering his love for me. And even though the songwriter said, Jesus loves me, this I know, and it feels like a little kid song, once I start to break through, I need to remember how much he loves me. And he's loving me even in my messiness. I'm supposed to be finished. We think he only loves us on our best days. But the love of Jesus really extended to us while we were yet sinners. So when you start to go through this and you remember the ugly past, Jesus like already knew it. I'm just waiting for you to look at me so I can pull you out. Oh, there a shout? And then, he loves you so much. We want you to be a free church. So as we stand this morning, as the band plays, let's go back to I Trust in God. That'll work. As we're bowing our heads all over the building, first prayer I'll be praying is for the salvation of those who don't know Christ. And the second prayer I'll be praying is a covering for all of us as next week we're going into a period of fasting and drawing closer to the Lord. Let's look to the Lord. God, in the name of Jesus, we love you and we thank you. Right now, Lord, we are lifting up anybody who doesn't know your Son and the gift of salvation. We thank you that you have extended this gift to all of us, and today we're doing that one more time. So God, if there's anyone under the sound of my voice, God, I pray, Holy Spirit, move in their hearts right now. And they would come to make that decision today. Lord, let them know that if walking down is too much, then they can come and talk. If coming and talking is too much, then they can come and fill a contact card. Let them know that there is no avenue that's too great where you are not waiting with open arms to receive them unto yourself. In the name of Jesus, God, we come against fear. We come against hesitancy. We come against everything the enemy is setting up right now to tell somebody that it's not that deep. Let them know that your love for them is that deep. That you want them to be saved. And then, God, I'm praying for the entire grouping of this church and the friends of this church today. Bless us and seal us, oh God. Lord, we know that today was a difficult word, but God, help us to see where we have to break free. And our prayer closet, help us not to be afraid to say what it is so we can get to that level with you. And remind us, Lord, whether it's renouncing or disowning, holding ourselves responsible, that while we're doing this, to keep our eyes on our Savior. Holy Spirit, comfort and keep and strengthen this week as we go deeper in you. We love you, Lord. And we thank you for being God and God all by yourself. Now bless us and keep us as we leave this space, but never from your presence. Give us traveling mercy wherever we gotta go. Until we see each other again. This is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. All God's people say amen.